Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We who are older should sense more keenly the responsibility that we should have toward those who are younger, whether we be parents or simply interested in the welfare of the youth. There are probably no verses in the Bible that should strike a parent with greater attention than Ephesians 6 verse 4 and Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our lesson centers on one of the tragic questions of the Bible, a question asked by King David as he sat at the gate of a little place called Mahanaim, which was but a short distance from Jerusalem. He was there not by choice, but had been driven there as a result of a revolt against him led by his own son, Absalom. And the question was, is the young man Absalom safe? 2 Samuel 18 and verse 29. The Bible raises many questions, and they are not all asked for the purpose of extracting information. The very first question of the Bible was asked by the devil. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now this was not asked for information, but as a means of creating doubt and confusion in the mind of Eve. The devil knew that doubt was the first step toward disobedience. Another question was asked by God of Cain. Where is thy brother Abel? Now this was a very embarrassing question to Cain, seeing how he had murdered his brother. God knew what had happened, but he raised the question to impress upon Cain his responsibility and the enormity of his crime. Cain responded by also asking a question, Am I my brother's keeper? And he asked this in effort to escape his guilt and his responsibility. Job asked the question, If a man die, shall he live again? And Christ once asked, What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Neither of these questions sought information, but showed the inestimable value of the soul. Now some questions are asked in order to trick, in order to deceive and entangle and ensnare. But David's question, it was asked for information. He wanted to know, Is the young man safe? And it's somewhat strange that he would even be asking this question at this particular time, considering the manner of the character of Absalom and the events going on at the moment. Absalom was a very wicked person. He was a murderer, having killed his half-brother Amnon. Because Amnon had ravished Absalom's sister, Absalom took the law into his own hands and punished Amnon by death. And prior to killing Amnon, he nourished hatred and vengeance in his heart for 2 years. And as a result of his crime, he had to flee from Jerusalem for 3 more years before he tried to use Joab, David's captain, to make reconciliation for him. When Joab refused to intercede on his behalf, Absalom resorted to what we would call today blackmail. He engaged in violence, threatening to destroy the crops of Joab unless he helped him. And when he did return to Jerusalem, he remained there for 2 more years before being permitted into the courts of David. And during this time, he was busy building hatred toward his father and plotting the overthrow of him. He would sit at the gates of the city. The citizens would enter the city to have some matter to be settled by the king, and Absalom would complain that they would not get justice, and that David was really unconcerned about them. And if only he could be in charge, they would see better days. The Bible says, He stole the hearts of the people away from David. And friend, this was no little accomplishment, seeing how the people had adored David from the time he had slain Goliath. Absalom finally asked leave to go from Jerusalem to Hebron, on the premise that he was going to keep a vow that he had made. And he was given a leave of absence. But it was not to keep a vow, but to muster his forces to revolt against David. He led the rebellion, and he did what no other enemy of David had ever been able to do, and that is drive David from off his throne and from his capital city. David leaving Jerusalem was a very low point in David's life. He was fleeing for his life. His heart was broken. His own son was rebelling against him. His forces were in such disarray that he didn't know what to expect from them. And some of his trusted advisors had sided with Absalom. He knew that it was all a part of the punishment for his own sins. But however philosophical David viewed the situation, there can be no doubt but the character of Absalom was contemptible and reprehensible. He was a liar, a revolutionary, a murderer, a subverter, and a blackmailer. But after this initial success by Absalom, it soon became apparent that David's army had not forsaken him. David began operations to recover his throne. The armies of David and Absalom met in the field of battle. It was a case of son against father and father against son. What a tragic situation. The son had disgraced his father and would have gladly sacrificed the father to secure his own unholy ambitions. And yet before the battle begins, David instructs his men and all his captains, "Deal gently with the young man for my sake." Now Absalom deserves severe treatment, but for David's sake, he pled that Absalom not be harshly treated. Well, a great conflict followed, and some 20,000 fell in the forest of Ephraim. Absalom's army was routed and scattered and crushed by the more experienced and better trained and better led armies of David. David anxiously awaited word of the outcome as he sat at Mahanaim. A messenger came toward him, and then another. And David asked the question, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" It is remarkable that this was the most important question to him. He didn't ask what was the outcome of the battle. He didn't ask how many lives were lost. He didn't ask whether the throne had been recaptured. His concern was for his son Absalom. And he received this answer, "Would that all the enemies of David were as Absalom." Absalom was dead, and his mangled body was buried beneath a pile of stones deep in the heart of the forest of Ephraim. No, Absalom was not safe. And in reality, David's inquiry about the safety of his son had come much too late. He should have asked that long before now. It was too late now to do anything for Absalom. Friend, I suggest to you that Absalom should have asked that question, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" when he chose Absalom's mother to be his wife. She was the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur, a heathen land, and people who were pagan, who cared nothing for the true and living God. David violated God's law by taking her for his wife. That marriage was not motivated by love, or by respect for God, or anything else. It was purely for selfish and political interest, seeking alliances to enhance his own power. He took her, not asking what kind of mother she would be for his children, or what spiritual effect she would have on the lives of those around her. And so many intermarriage without ever giving God and his will very much thought. No, Absalom was not safe even before he was born. He was not safe in the selection of his mother. And David should have asked, "Is the young man safe?" when he was looking with lustful eyes upon Bathsheba, when he was ruining the home of Uriah and conspiring to have Uriah killed in battle as if it were nothing. He should have been concerned when he was lying and trying to cover his sins by committing more sins. No child is safe when his father or mother is engaged in matters that are evil. How many parents today are putting stumbling blocks in the paths of their own children, pitfalls into which the young might fall, placing mines, as it were, in their roadway to explode to their harm, and doing this by their own evil. There is no evidence that David ever gave time and attention and interest to the training of Absalom, spiritually or otherwise. There was not the proper discipline when Absalom did evil. Spiritual training was obviously lacking, seeing the kind of person Absalom was. Parents harm their children immeasurably when they withhold proper discipline from them, when they are not attentive to the upbringing of their children, when they are too busy with many other things, such as the house or jobs or sports or filling their own ambitions. David was indeed a busy man. He was guilty, however, of neglect relative to Absalom. Absalom was not the first son nor the last to have suffered because his parents were not what they ought to have been, nor dealt with him as should have been dealt. The stones that covered the pit in the forest of Ephraim, wherein did lay the body of Absalom, was a monument to parental neglect of a child. The question, is the young man Absalom safe? Don't you think it's a heartbreaking question? Because there's so much self-rebuke in it. In Absalom's death, David saw more than the death of his son. While he could know that Absalom had reaped as he had sown, to be sure, he also knew that much of the blame was his own. Young people have responsibility, but so do those who are older. It is a terrible thing for a parent to realize that the suffering and the tragedy visited upon their children are the results of their own sin, their own neglect, their own selfishness. And David wailed, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Dear friend, David was experiencing the deepest grief one can know. Now, he had had a son to die before. He had already suffered that. But he knew that he could go to him even though he could not bring him back, 2 Samuel chapter 12. But now, he was not only reliving the agony of the death of one of his children, but he knew he had helped to make it that way. Nothing now could be done. His question of concern had come too late. And we must wonder, how many parents today should be raising the question regarding their own children while there is time for them to do something about their duty toward that child? Is your child safe? Is he safe if you do not give him the advantages of a Christian example? Is he safe if you are neglecting his spiritual training to live God's way? Is he safe if you are so overly occupied with other matters that you neglect him? Is he safe with his friends and companions that he has? Is he safe in the recreation he has, his education, where he goes, what he does? Dear listening friend, if we do not discharge the duty of love now, while we have time and opportunity, we may be the one who someday will ask, "Is my child safe?" But we will be asking too late. John Greenleaf Whittier once wrote, "For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these, it might have been." And I suggest it might have been different with Absalom, if it had first been different with David. What we who are older do makes a difference. We cannot lead where we will not go. God, help us to show our love toward our young by living before God and before them according to His Word. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.